Hello,
Martika, what's up?
What's up, Bobby?
How you doing?
How you doing? Buenas noches.
Word, happy 12:30 at night.
Oh my god, I can't believe we're doing this so late, two nights in a row.
Yeah, we've dedicated a lot of time to the Bachelor this week, to the Bacheleteros. You feel me?
But you know what? That's what we signed up for when we said we're going to do this podcast, because we wanted to please Bachelor Nation and give them some sass sound. So that's how we're doing it.
Yes, sir. And yo, with that being said, welcome to the Bacheleteros. You can follow us on that IG, on the Twitter, on Facebook, at the Bacheleteros. That's at the Bacheleteros. All right, Martika. It's a lot of things that went on. No 3 hours, thank God.
No, thank God. Thank God. I couldn't handle that anymore. I'm serious. Like, I was just like...
Yeah. I was about to give you that call, like, Martika, let's know. I don't know if we can do the Bacheleteros anymore. This is...
Oh, stop it. Those are lies and deceits, okay? Mentira tuya. You know you couldn't live without watching a little bit of Bachelor Nation, okay?
Yeah, nah, at this point, you know, there's no way I can survive without The Bachelor. I'm
no,
just saying.
No. Or the Bachelor franchise as a whole. But honestly, a lot of things happened. It wasn't as crazy as last episode, but it was. But now I understand why they decided to do two episodes in 1 week.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay. A lot happened. Peter finally got his stitches out from, his Puma incident.
A little Harry Potter cut.
I don't understand what they put on his forehead, but it looked like a wet tampon.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sort of like bandage, not like a band-aid where it covers like unnecessary skin too, that like is not affected at all. But yeah, it's just a bandage that directly covers the cut itself. And like, yeah, like his fucking head split open. You know, that's what happened.
Yeah, 22 stitches, but still, I don't know if it looks like a wet tampon, like a weird glob of like jizz that dried up. Yes. All of that. Yes. That's what it looked like to
Martika.
Me.
Martika.
What?
You dry jizz?
Dry jizz. Vaseline gone wrong. Very much something about Mary. Okay? Very something about Mary. You know what I'm talking about.
It was
With Ben Stiller and Cameron Diaz.
It was like Palm Sunday, but they ran out of the what
the
is
palm?
It? Yeah. The little black stuff. Wow, I'm a horrible Christian.
Yeah, no. Awful. Yeah. It looks like lube. Looks like, yeah, lube.
Jesus, Martika, you're on a roll right now. Keep going. What else looks like? What else?
Oh my god, no, let's stop. Cause if I say something really bad, like, you know, when a girl, I mean, then I got
like when a girl what? When it, wait, say
no,
it. When a girl
no,
what?
No,
say it. No, we you gotta keep it. Going.
We ain't listen.
When a girl what? Martika, we're not moving on. When a girl what?
Oh my god. What's the equivalent of like guy jizz? Girl jizz.
Girl,
so when she squirts and shit, you know, like
yeah, like this is what it is.
You know, like bodily fluids. Okay.
Does it look like it? Doesn't look like I'm looking at it right now. It does not look like anything you.
It looked like
about.
A glob. It looked like a glob. It looked like gel. It looked like something. It just, you know. Okay. Anyways, I'm here getting very sexual. I am so
gel
glob.
Squirt. Dry jizz. What else did you say? A tampon. Like, you're all over the fucking place right now.
Listen, Jesus. It just looks bad. Okay. It just looks all sorts of bad. But either way, so finally, he goes to Chile to get his bandages taken off. Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, not his bandages, but his stitches. They put on that weird bandage. And while he's doing that, the girls are like out to lunch. And they're all discussing, like, hey, we're not going to have any more drama this week. And,
of all people, by the way, of all people that's saying that is fucking Miss Drama Queen herself, a.k.a. Tammy, the one that starts all the drama. She's the one that's like, all that drama, we're putting it behind us, moving forward, we're just going to focus on our relationships.
Does she really start the drama? She didn't.
Yeah,
really,
hell yeah!
She didn't listen, she didn't begin, hold on, maybe in these past two episodes.
This episode, for sure.
And last episode too, but I'm saying like before that, prior to, who was the one starting all the drama? It was Kelsey.
Yeah, it was Kelsey,
it was Aaliyah. Sydney and Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. It was your homegirl too.
Yeah, but right Victoria now, P. the now, drama queen is Tammy, without a doubt.
And let's just all do it all to the fact that Hannah Ann wasn't the one starting the drama. Meanwhile, everybody wanted to pin her as the freaking, the
Luke P.
of the scene. The Luke P of the season. And yeah.
Nah, she's sweet. She's nice.
She's a sweetheart.
She's like a, like, if I could compare it to any, like, Bachelorette contestant from Hannah's season, she gives me, Tyler C vibes. Tyler C vibes, because, like, you know, like, you know, they got, like, a certain, like, adorableness to them, you know? And they're like, huh, you know, like, we just chill, you know, we just cool. Like, is this all good intentions?
They're sweethearts.
Yeah. They are sweethearts, yeah. There you go. That's the perfect, that's exactly what I mean.
That's what he described her as. But while they're all having lunch and they're having fun and they're like, no more drama, even though I think that was foreshadowing all the drama that was going to occur later on in the episode. Luckily, McKenna starts crying again, why are you crying again? Stop crying. Like, she's crying por gusto at this point, you know?
No, tampoco por gusto. Like, you know, not because she wants to. She's just a very emotional and young, you know, she's a young girl. 22. Like, she doesn't get it. I don't feel like she's truly been in love before, you know? I don't think she's been through a relationship where, like, there was, like, legit, all right, like, I'm in love with this person is in love with me type of thing, you know? She seems very inexperienced when it comes to love and, you know, more caught up with the idea of what it is. And she just wants that so bad, you know, that fairy tale love.
Yeah, well, Victoria F, like, calls her out, like, there's not going to be any more cocktail parties before the rose when there's not supposed to be a cocktail party before the rose ceremony type of situation again, okay?
Yeah, Victoria F was feisty with her.
But she is feisty. Like, she's a feisty one. She got feisty with with Aaliyah when she's like, oh my god, is that appalling? I don't give a fuck. You know, she's same thing right here. She's like, I don't care what you think. My opinion, it was uncalled for. We're not doing that again. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, you gotta be careful with why lives matter, you know?
You know that Peter, actually, I was watching an interview today that he did with E! Entertainment with Lauren Zima.
He spoke about it.
Yeah, he didn't know what to say. He's like, honestly, I'm finding out everything in real time, just like everybody else is, because when you are in that Bachelor world, you're kind of isolated from what's going on because you don't have a phone. So right now is when he's finding out this whole thing, and he didn't know what to say. He was like, you know what? Like, that has nothing to do with, like, you know, her being a, you know, being a sweetheart. I mean, it is what it is. He literally said it is what it is. Oh my goodness.
I mean, like, what else do you want him to say? Like, fuck, there is nothing else to say. Like, no, it's not true. This
and
that. Like,
and he can't say anything else without spoiling anything either. That's why he has to remain neutral with all his commentary.
Exactly.
But wow, McKenna.
Damn.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm sorry, my love.
You had a long day. It's 12:30 in the morning. And you got to get up in a few hours. Totally understandable. So
Yes. I'm still trying to catch up on my sleep since we stayed up recording until like, 1:30 in the morning the last time.
We had a long episode.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Actually, one of my friends that's like hardcore Bacheletero listener, shout out to Christian, he was like, the episode was really long. And I'm like, there was a lot to cover. Okay, 3 hours.
Fucking 3 hours.
Like, what do you expect? Like, unless you want us to do like a cheapy choppa, you know, very vague episode and a very vague commentary about this whole situation, then we could do it 20 minutes, no doubt. Like, we'll just say bullet points. No, man, we go into depth.
And all that was the episode, and we're done. Martica, I'll see you next week.
All right. Exactamente. No. We dissected like if we were bachelor surgeons up in this bitch.
Ooh, I like that description.
Right?
Yo, write that shit down. That's good.
Okay, I'm glad you like it. You know, I sometimes have my smart moments. You know,
That's the most Miami I've ever heard you in my life. Jesus Christ. Anyways, so all right.
So moving on. So while McKenna's like crying and Victoria F is like calling her out. about her little rose ceremony situation. In the last episode, Peter comes up, all right, with his stitches off. And he's like, I want to go exploring today. And Hannah, what are you doing today? You want to explore Santiago, Chile with me? Ooh. And McKenna's facial expressions. Like, she almost swallowed her tongue like she did the last episode. Like, you saw all the memes with her tongue. McKenna's, like, tongue memes. Like, how she was, like, sticking out her tongue more than Shakira was in the Super Bowl. Like, yo,
hilarious, bro.
All hilarious. The memes that came out. All the memes. But yeah, McKenna like almost had another titty attack when Hannah Ann got the one-on-one versus her. And to just backtrack to Bachelor history, usually when someone would get the first impression rose, the first one-on-one date right after, it would be the person that got the first impression rose. So I'm very curious and very, like, I guess, weirded out as to why it hasn't occurred that way anymore, you know? Because usually it's like, all right, you got the first impression rose. Like, I want to get, like, the song, I want to get to know you. I really want to drive you crazy, you know?
Ooh, that's a good one, Martica. All right.
Well, I mean, it's true. Usually that's what occurs in, you know, in past Bachelor seasons. And it's kind of like this. It doesn't happen anymore that way. It's like, oh, a quien le salga del fondillo, that is who he picks, you know? This time around, it was, who got the first one-on-one date? Madison.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Right. Okay, yeah, 10 seconds or less, because then it's all, you know, copyright infringement and all
PPM
that.
PPM friendly,
yes. and for those of you people don't know what PPM friendly means.
They don't need to know. It's a radio term. Uh-huh. Long story short, radio term for radio slang for just keep it tight, keep it simple. Don't talk too long about one thing. That's it.
Exactamente. Yeah. Entonces, nada que, it's weird that Hannah Ann had to wait 6 weeks, six freaking weeks for a one-on-one with Peter. Mm. So, okay, I was just curious as to why that was. But anyways, so they go on the one-on-one date, and they were really goofy. You saw that? Like, in the beginning with the food, and they were super playful.
I loved it.
Like, Peter was, like, smearing food all over her face. She was smearing food all over his face, and then they made out with food on their faces. Like, it was
just sexiest thing ever. Swear really? To God. I'm not even being dramatic. I'm not even being extra. I thought that was so awesome and so cute and so sexy, too. Like, yo. The fact that you're comfortable enough to have hot dog shit all over each other's faces and still want to make out with each other. I mean, it might stink after a while.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome. Like, they couldn't get their hands off of each other. There's a strong connection between yes. those two. There are question marks, though, you know?
It's because of her age. It's really because of her age.
Like, I think we should stop saying because of age. I do believe age is just a number because I know there's younger people that are way more mature than way older people. I want to say it's because she's inexperienced, you know, and she did say that she's never been in love with somebody. Yes, that she's been in a 3.5 year relationship where mm-hmm. she's really, her and her partner, you know, really cared for each other. But mm-hmm. But she's never truly been in love with somebody.
Yeah.
And so I can see how scary that could be because mm-hmm. I can't, me personally, where like, you know, with my first love, I can't imagine living my entire life only being with my first love without learning the ups and downs of love and understanding. Mm-hmm. Just like Peter was saying, he was making some very valid points. And his concern is very valid. Yeah, like you gotta know what's up with this. This is not all fucking roses all the time.
It gets me nervous
for Hannah Ann.
I don't know, because my best friend from high school, her name is Marissa, and she married the guy that she went to college with. Like, she married her college sweetheart. She didn't marry, and like, that was her first, that was her everything, and she married him. They That's just awesome. Had a baby. So I mean, What's to say that you have to be completely experienced in love
yeah.
for you not to live happily ever after?
And that's a risk.
You, It is a risk. It is a risk. But when it's real love, you make it work. And sometimes I honestly think that when you are inexperienced and you've only had just one fruit, it's a lot sweeter because then you don't have anything to compare it to. Because when you start comparing, that's when it gets dicey for me. After everything I've been through, I think that, you know what, I wish if I would have known then what I know now, I would have just stuck to what I knew, you know? Yeah. Porque lo que está afuera en la calle no sirve. But that's just me. But I also like the paradox, the parallel of the Chilean older couple that they met on the street. Yeah. When they were saying, like, hey, you know, you guys make a cute couple. And obviously, Peter trying to speak his really bad Spanish. ¿Cuál es el secreto para el amor? What is the secret to love? And the couple had been together for 20 years. And they were like, communication, love, trust. Basically, everything that we know and that we hear. I like that they validated that for that couple, for them.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Honestly, they make such a cute couple. Like, they really do. They look like they fit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's some people that when you look at them, like, physically and, physically, they look like they mash. Like, they mash, they mesh, they match. Like, yeah. They would make a nice mashup if they had babies.
It's a good combination, those two. They have great chemistry. What I've been wanting to see since episode one is how deep can they go? Yeah. Like, you know, where will the deep conversations go? How will she react and respond? And I was very concerned in the beginning of that dinner date at night. She was very robotic with her answers. She was, like, very, like, politically correct with her answers. She was not being open and vulnerable. And I saw it on Peter's face, like, fuck, man. Like, y'all, like, it felt like Peter was interviewing. What's her face? Hannah Ann. Like, yeah. All right, like, why should you be mine? Okay, and what are you going to do if we do this? It really felt like an interview, and I didn't like that at all. And you could tell that Peter was frustrated about it, hence why he had to get up and just walk away for a quick second.
Yep.
And I feel like that was a good thing because right away, Hannah Ann realized, like, fuck, man. I really need to step it up. I got to stop bullshitting. Not that she was bullshitting. It's just that, like, you know, she just didn't know how to handle herself in that particular moment. And to, like, completely give your all to somebody, it's not an easy thing to do, you know?
And
when they were, you know, outside in the back just talking and, you know, when Hannah Ann started getting emotional, I really felt like that was genuine. I really felt like she was opening up, opening up on how she really, truly felt inside. And she even hit him with the, yo, I'm falling for you. And,
girl number two to say that. Girl number two.
Yeah. And I really do believe that. I do believe that Hannah Ann is falling for Peter. I think she's such a sweet girl, such a nice girl. I think she'll go far. Let's just see if her inexperience will be, a factor in Peter's mind, because he's certainly thinking about it, you know?
Yeah. He hated her perfect answers. He hated it. He's like, this sounds so rehearsed to me. This sounds like so cookie cutter, so robotic.
Yeah.
And then finally, when she started crying, and he was like, "This is what
that's what I wanted.
This is what I want to see." And honestly, she doesn't have to. I mean, I think when he asked her, "What is it that you're looking for?" And she basically told him, "Hey, like, you're the type of man that, you know, my values match with, that they've always matched with, and what I've always envisioned for myself." I thought that was genuine too, but it's kind of like
it was really
rehearsed.
Generic.
Yeah, really generic, really rehearsed. But I think she meant that. I feel that because she's so inexperienced that maybe those are the answers that she really feels inside, but she just doesn't know how to express it because at the end of the day, you're right. Like, she hasn't had, like, the ups and downs of a relationship that has knocked you off your feet.
Yeah.
She's not good at
verbally communicating her feelings. You know, she has a very, you know, and everybody has different love languages. But I think she did, you know, showed it, like, she showed us her love languages, like, at the end, you know, like, I really did appreciate her, like, you know, her being emotional about it, you know, it wasn't like, you know, she was being a crybaby at all, like, nah, like, it's like, fuck, I don't know how to tell you, but, like, this is how I feel, though, like, let me just step out of my comfort zone and throw my peep.
Yeah, and by the way, did you see, like, how this is the second time that she's worn a white dress for Peter? The second time.
Yeah,
And she very tried. Wedding dress like. The first one at the Revolve fashion show in La Pasarela on the runway, she wore a wedding dress. And this time, this looked like a the party after the ceremony, like the wedding ceremony. What is it, the reception? That looked like a reception dress. And it looked really good on her too.
Yeah, she's
has tremenda figura. She has tremenda figurita. She has a beautiful body.
Yeah, she's almost flawless top to bottom. And
you've
been like on my case about Hannah Ann for like the last 3 weeks, and for the last 3 weeks I've been telling you like I like her, like she's dope, she's like well my dick, I move on, bro, like
it's not listen
I'm on the Hannah Ann bandwagon now.
I told you
I'm get like, over it,
oh my god,
say get it, over it.
You're right.
I already told you that 3 weeks ago, like three episodes ago, that you were
right. Yes, but I love hearing that. Women love to hear when they write. Anyway.
Well, guess what? You ain't hearing shit again. So
yes, watch what I will. But anyways, I will say this. She got the rose. Well-deserved. I'm glad that she put it out there. They do have really great chemistry. Yeah. Physically, emotionally, I feel like they mesh well together.
They do, yes.
And I do see her going far. Okay? So, we'll see.
I'm calling it hometown, Hannah Ann.
Oh, yeah, same Z's. And meanwhile, this is happening back at the mansion. 2 day cards were given out. And they revealed that Victoria F is getting her second date. And because obviously she didn't get a fair shot at the first one, given to the fact that they had to share it with her ex-boyfriend, Chase Rice. Or ex-one-night stands, whatever you want to call it. And the girls were livid. Natasha wasn't having it. And McKenna obviously wasn't having it.
She has a fucking breakdown every other scene.
Dude, I don't think... And here we are thinking that Kelsey wasn't emotionally stable. Come on now. McKenna.
Between those two, between Kelsey... Well, Kelsey was very well put together. This episode, not sure if that was a producer type of thing, but
like girl, lay off the alcohol.
Yeah, like she was fine. Like even like, you know, and I know I'm moving forward a little bit, even like during the group date when she was seeing like Peter kissing other girls like Sydney and whatnot, like she was smiling and laughing and it looked genuine. Like Kelsey is like, all right, I'm going to take my role. I'm going to put up with this bullshit because I want my man. And that's the kind of vibe that I'm getting from Kelsey. You
know? Yes, so, I agree.
Her. I'm like, but, I'm liking her more and more, so we'll see.
Yeah, so we go on the group date, and oh my goodness, it was a novela date. I cannot. Luz, camera, acción. Lights, camera, action.
Yes!
Like, so they're going to film a telenovela called El Amor de Pedro, or The Love of Peter, and honestly... Didn't it make you laugh? I was laughing hysterically.
I was dying, bro. Dying.
All that the bad hilarious. Spanish, all the bad English, just all the bad hombres, okay?
Like, yo, can I give you like my MVP of La Novela?
Well let's go over the roles first and then let's do that.
Okay, yeah, break that down. Go ahead.
So Kelsey was Camila, the blonde bombshell. Yeah. Natasha was Pedro's ex-lover, Anna. Ooh. McKenna was Rose, the maid. Kelly was Pedro's abuela. Seriously, la abuelita, I guess because she's like one of the older ones in the group. Tammy was Valeria, the next door neighbor. Victoria P. was a nameless girl that was tragically hit in a golf cart accident. And we don't know who Madison was. They don't tell us.
Sydney, don't forget. Yo,
Sydney's a hot nurse.
Fucking smoking, bro. Sydney was a hot nurse.
Sydney was hands
down the hottest, like the hottest girl in the mansion. Without a doubt. There is no doubt. No question. Who's hotter than Sydney? Martica. Give me one name in the mansion that's hotter than Sydney.
I can't have a thing for blondes. I think Kelsey's really pretty.
Wait, so are you saying that Kelsey is hotter than Sydney? I know we're kind of objectifying, but like we're just looking like we're just talking looks-wise.
I mean, I just okay. Yeah, I have a thing for blondes. Like, I think
you're not answering the question. Be straight up.
Yeah. Like, attitude wise, I feel like as a whole, Sydney's a better package.
So then there's nobody that looks better than Sydney.
No, I thought Alea was prettier and sexier.
Oh, sorry. You bugging.
I'm not bugging. Oh, yeah.
You bugging.
Different strokes for different folks. Listen, I have two things that kill me. Girls that are blonde, and I sound like I never, you know what I mean? Things that I find attractive, especially when I'm watching beauty pageants or models or whatever. Blonde hair, light eyes, and dark hair with light eyes.
You really said Alea looked better than Sydney. You bugging. Yes. I'm not.
But why? Why are you hating? I even find Victoria F. a lot prettier than Sydney. Like, that's just.
Nah.
Listen. Oye, esa es mi opinión. It's my freaking opinion. It is what it is. And it ain't what it ain't.
I'm very defensive over.
Over Sydney?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand you like your Plátano Power.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mofongo, because mofongo, I think, is Puerto Rican.
Well, mofongo is a little bit from everywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not just Puerto Rican, although it's very common in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
But yeah. Plátano con salami.
Plátano con salami. I know you want plátano con salami. Tú sabes.
No, yo quiero plátano. Yo tengo salami. Yeah, apenas el plátano y me quedo bien. I'm good with that.
Bueno, I mean... Yeah. Well, they're both follicle symbols, my love. So then you don't want the plátano either. Because if you have the plátano, we really have a problem.
I take that back.
So you want the plátano? You want the plátano, LP?
I want.
Are you somebody... declaring yourself on this podcast?
No.
That you want plátano?
I just want somebody que me come el plátano.
Ah, bueno. Esa es otra historia completamente. And he just wants someone to eat his banana, is what he said, okay?
For those it of sounds you who... so weird in English.
It does sound weird. It does sound weird.
Like, it sounded like very PG-13-ish in Spanish.
I want you to eat my banana.
No, Marika, that should sound weird in English. The fuck?
Well, I mean, but it is what it is. That's why sometimes speaking in Spanish is a lot sexier.
Yo, it is. Come el plátano, you know? Like, damn, yeah. Like, that shit's sexy right there. Come plátano. Ooh.
No, tampoco. I can't say that to a guy. Anyways, we're going off track. Okay, so after me naming the freaking, the roles that these girls played, who was your MVP of La Amor?
My fucking MVP of El Amor.
De Pedro.
De Pedro. Mm-hmm. Yo, without a doubt, La Abuelita, my girl Kelly,
yeah.
Hashtag
is the best.
Normal Kelly. Yo, she had a couple quotes. First of all, the way she started, she was like, my love, you don't need to look far for love. It might be me, you are with love.
Oh my God.
Incest is best on this one.
Incest is best, and GILF.
And GILF, grandma, I like to fantasy suite.
Yo,
how can you not love Kelly? Like, she's fucking awesome. Her standards are through the fucking roof. She's incredible. She knows what she wants. She's not like, she's way mature than everybody else in the house. She's not involved in any drama, and she's down to earth and awesome. This just reconfirms it over and over and over again. Martika.
She's awesome. She's awesome. My favorite part of this whole thing was when Chris Harrison shows up.
Oh, yes.
Peter's dad.
Mijo.
Mijo. Esa es tu tía Stephanie, which is your aunt Stephanie. Really? Really? I felt McKenna's role was very much her, because she has been in the background this whole time being a creeper, being a creepologist. Again, I found it so weird that we didn't see Natasha and we didn't see Madison. We saw Sydney. We saw Victoria Paul. Were their acting scenes that boring?
I was just going to say, they were probably like that fucking bad that like the producers were like, nah, fuck this.
Mm-mm. And then Tammy acting all crazy like, oh, I'm going to be Valeria and I'm going to be, you know.
Tammy was being herself. Basically.
I don't know about all that, but
Sammy was being her crazy self. Sydney was fine though.
Ooh, of course she was.
She was on some, but like she was a little excessive though. She was on some like I feel like I was watching a fucking like the beginning of a porn scene.
Oh yeah. Yes, yeah, I'm gonna check your heartbeat, Peter. Pedro. Okay, anyways. Moving forward.
Yeah. Wait, how'd it go again? Wait, he broke up a little bit. I think you broke up a little bit.
Nope. I can't tell you about my my old job as a telephone porn operator. Anyway.
Were you really?
No, I was not. It's
no, are you lying? Yes, you were.
It's a joke. No, you're not. All right, so true story. Before we continue, when I was in middle school, I used to crank call people as a phone sex operator.
Okay, example. Hello.
Example? Okay.
Hello.
Ooh, wet and slippery. Hot and nasty. You've got it. You've reached that oral orgy where everything goes down. Wet and easy. If you don't have a credit card, but you still want some hot, explicit sex, please stay on the line for the following options.
That shit is that's a great commercial.
You're welcome.
Not gonna lie, that's a great like, that was solid.
Thank you. Yeah, I used to crank. Imagine being like 13, 14 years old, crank calling guys and girls and people.
You were 13 doing that shit?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Martika. I don't even want to fucking know. Let's move on from the conversation. I feel horrible right now.
Man, it was the party line. Oh my God. Man, you weren't around for those times. The party line scene when you used to call in and.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what the party line was?
I have no idea what that is.
It was like AIM, but on phones. Like, you know how you would have like those group dates or like group phone calls, like not like group messengers, like those group chats.
Okay, group chats, yeah.
You know, I'm on AOL. You know what I'm talking about? That it would, yeah. Like, and then you would chat with different people and stuff like that. You would do it on a phone. And then if you like somebody, you know, you would click in to like a private line.
What year was this? I've never heard of this.
I don't want to reveal that. I used to have a beeper. That's all I got to say.
Damn, you had a beeper. I don't even think I've ever seen a fucking beeper in my life.
And I had the cool beeper, by the way. Like, you can actually read messages. You could read messages off my beeper.
So what makes a beeper cool and what makes a beeper whack?
My beeper read messages. Like, instead of saying number, like showing numbers, mine would be able to read messages.
Wait, so how do you communicate with beepers? I don't get it. Can you write through a beeper?
No, you have to like use a phone, like back in the day when cell phones, when cell phones they existed, but you had to pay a pretty penny for them. So,
I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it? You don't know how beepers work?
I don't.
Okay, so a pager, you would call from a landline and you would send a beep and it would be like a number, like, hey, like, call back this number. And you would call back the number that would show up on the pager.
With what? With the beeper?
No, with a phone. Like,
so so why can't you just do that to the phone?
Because it would be like a message. Message.
Wouldn't that just make it a whole lot easier?
I mean, okay, so what if you're not at home? The whole purpose of a pager is when you're not at home.
Oh, because there was no cell phones.
There was no cell phones.
Ah,
And if there was cell phones, really terrible service, and it was for, like, the privileged. So you had a beeper, you had a pager. So I had a pager because if my mom needed to get in contact with me because I was out or whatever at a party, she would just page me, and I would get a landline and call her back. And that's back in the day when they used to have payphones. So I would call from a payphone. I would call from whatever, my friend's house.
Damn, the 70s sound crazy.
It's not the 70s. Don't be. Listen. With that being said, this is the end of the Bachelor Thetto podcast. LP could do this by his damn self. I freaking hate you so much right now. Okay, moving on.
That was good. Come on.
It was not good. You're so mean. You're discriminating against my age, sir, and I don't approve.
Just fucking with you. All right, so moving on with this group date.
Yeah, so they go to the cocktail party, and the first person that Peter speaks to is Victoria. No, is it Victoria Paul or is it Kelsey?
All right, let me acuerdo.
Okay, was it Victoria?
No, Kelsey first, and then Victoria Paul.
Yeah. So basically him and Kelsey, you know, he's like, oh, you've been, you know, I'm glad that everything blew over since last week. And they have a cute heart to heart and everything was fine and dandy between them. That's why it wasn't that memorable. But then Victoria P and Peter, they have a heart to heart about like how things have, you know, taken a turn for the worst ever since the whole Alea thing. Yeah. And at first, you know, by their conversation, I'm like, oh, things are going to maybe get better. And then all of a sudden, Peter's like, I don't know if I see you as my wife.
Yo, that Mike shit hurt. Drop. I wasn't expecting that.
Mike freaking drop. And she's like, this is the last convo we're ever going to have. And she tells her, I don't need you to walk me out. And she walks out all mad. And
yeah, yeah. I felt like, bad.
No, I mean, like, she didn't want to keep talking. And I agree. You say that to someone, that means bye. That means,
yeah, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, I bet. Fuck you then.
Yeah, exactamente. And she... But here's the thing. A lot of conspiracy theorists online are saying that this whole scenario happened because the next day she had to crown her successor in the beauty pageant that she represents. Isn't she Miss Louisiana? Hold on, let me... Victoria Paul a beauty pageant. Let me look this up because I forget now. Even though I had it in my notes, she is Miss Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, regardless though, like...
And she had to give up her crown. She had to crown her successor. So a lot of conspiracy theorists are saying that all of this was concocted so that she can leave to go crown and fulfill her duties as the reigning Miss Louisiana, USA 2019.
Nah, she was butthurt. She was really hurt, like, without a doubt. I felt it. And Victoria P was one of my favorites. Like, all season long, like, straight from day one. I think she's bad as fuck.
Even after her, like, lying about her.
She didn't lie, though. That's the thing. She omitted a little bit. But
a little bit?
Yeah, it really wasn't that serious. Like, it blew up so fucking much. And that killed her. That killed her chances. That fucked her up. The whole Aaliyah situation. Honestly, if Pete had never even brought Victoria into that situation, Victoria will be one of the top dogs right now on The Bachelor, without a doubt.
She lied. It's not omitted information. You literally lied.
She didn't literally lie.
She lied. She said, damn. I only spoke to her collectively for 3 hours.
I'm sure it maybe was only 3 hours. Yeah, like, no. They went to Vegas. But it doesn't mean that you're fucking besties with everybody that's in Vegas with you.
Then why would there be pictures of her standing next to each other, side by side, with the hashtag squad goals?
Well, they weren't next to each other, actually. They were, no, it no, was
I
like...
saw another. I saw another picture where they were literally right next to each other.
If they were, they were. It was a fucking picture. You know, like, you don't know what's going on.
Yo, she freaking
I really am giving her the benefit of the doubt.
You give a lot of things the benefit of the doubt. You give a lot of things the benefit of the doubt.
I'm very empathetic.
No. She was lying straight to his face. And honestly, I've heard other podcasts from other people in Bachelor Nation. And they're all saying the same thing. She motherfucking lied.
Well, just because everybody wants to say one thing doesn't mean that I'm going to say it. I truly do believe that she just didn't want to put herself in a certain situation against the layer, against anybody in the house. So she just wanted to keep it as simple as possible. And... yeah, like, I mean, nobody knew how fucking much it was going to blow up. And unfortunately for her, you know, that's what cost her chance to keep on moving forward with Peter. And Peter held on to that, you know, that, like, that sense of resentment. Y se la cago.
Bueno, yeah, she left. And then after that, Madison and Peter go have some alone time and they start making out.
Yeah, first of all, before the make out, Peter, he's very thoughtful with only Madison, if you think about it. He's given her gifts, right? Mm-hmm. He's given her, like, little things. He's done little things for her. He's written little things for her. And then he wrote, like, another script, for El Amor de Pedro. And and they were, like, kind of, like, reciting it back and forth. And it was mad cute. Like, that shit was awesome.
Yeah,
the line that he said that, like, well, I want to kiss you under 100 Chilean suns. I don't know, some shit like that. But it was awesome. And, like, their chemistry and their relationship is one of the very few, possibly the only one, where every time I see them together, I can't help but have the biggest smile on my face.
Yeah.
I don't think I could say that for anybody else. From, like, top to bottom, the entire time that they're together, I always have the biggest smile on my face. I think Madison might have the strongest connection with me at the moment. Could be.
Could not be.
There's been zero drama with Madison
Zero drama, but I feel like, do you honestly want me to tell you who I think is a front runner?
Go ahead.
Victoria F.
With all that drama, it's drama every episode with Victoria. And you know I'm a big Victoria F fan.
Yeah,
F,
but
the F
look how affected he was by it. We're jumping to conclusions, but honestly, like, we're jumping before we need to get back to, let's go back to the group date and then I'll explain why, but I think it's Victoria F. Anyways, so by the way, just want to point out that Madison is also 23, just like Hannah Ann. FYI.
Well, so, she carries herself very well and very eloquently, and she doesn't act like a 23-year-old.
All right, bueno. Moving on, while they're making out and they're being all lovey-dovey, Tammy's like, time to stir the pot. Time to go and confront McKenna.
She sucks, bro.
Oh, stop it. Like, but she does. Was coming for her.
So it was so unnecessary, though. Why? Like, what is that doing for you except making you look stupid and putting you in another fucking drama-filled bullshit?
Like, yeah, but I think I honestly, mira, entre nosotros, between you and I, McKenna was already acting super immature when he found out that Victoria F got the one-on-one by saying, I'm packing my bags. Like, I need to leave. Like, I don't belong here. Yeah,
it's none of her, it's none of Tammy's business. Like, all right, like, bye.
But McKenna does really act like a child. Like,
she has child tendencies. But I love that Kelsey was defending
that your opinions are hurtful. Yes, yes, yes.
And Kelsey was absolutely very right. And yeah, like Tammy was being a bully straight up. Like whether she was right or wrong, she was being a bully. She came at Tammy in public in front of everybody for no reason, just because she was bothered about how somebody else feels. Like, and that's not even directed towards Tammy, towards her. Like, yo, stay out of it, bro. Like, it's not like, why you gotta butt into everybody else's business and bullshit and always pinpoint everybody's insecurities? For what? What is that doing except making you look stupid?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I feel like Tammy, yes, while she was maybe confronting her and maybe out of place, I think Tammy does have a point. Whether you like it or not,
nah.
Tammy has a point.
Nah,
Tammy
man.
Has a,
like,
no, Tammy like, has like, a point. McKenna's crying over every little thing. Every
yes, she is.
Thing, and she's acting like a spoiled brat. Like, wait your turn. Wait your turn.
Yeah, but that's not what Tammy was saying, though. Tammy was not saying, wait your turn. Like, no. I thought Victoria F. in the beginning of the episode was a little more like she was firm, but she wasn't disrespectful. Tammy was disrespectful. That's the big difference between the situation.
Bueno, while the girls are like straight up yelling out, like in the inside of the, I don't know if it's the mansion or wherever they were, Madison and Peter just kept making out and they were like, wait, is that yelling we're hearing? Oh, fuck it. Let's continue to make out. Let's kiss. Forget being concerned about all that noise. Let's just concentrate on you and I. And he even said it, like, Madison has him feeling extra excited about the future, and that's why she got the group date rose.
Yeah.
And then we move on to the Victoria Fuller one-on-one date with Peter, and they go to a ranch and they get to ride horses. And I love how the Chilean like I don't know if he would be a farmer, but the person that's in charge of the horses was like, the way that you ride a horse is the way that you manage a relationship. You got to get them to trust you so you can ride them. I was like, yes.
Like, you would like that. Uh-huh.
No, I mean, no, but seriously, I'm like, it's true though. Like, in order for a relationship to work, there has to be trust. And in order for us to work, in order for the relationship to ride smoothly, we got to trust each other. So I like that, because horses can sense fear and horses can sense when you're comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. So that was like a great explanation of how there is like a parallel between relationships and riding horses. I like that a lot. And Peter kept saying, this is going to help our connection. And obviously he kept saying that there's a lot of passion between them too. And he could see her as a future Mrs. Weber. Like, that's why I'm saying that Victoria F. is a front runner, because as much as there's like this amazing chemistry with him and Madison and they've only been on one date, he genuinely wants to spend time with Victoria F. I think he used okay, I want a do-over as an excuse. I think he used it as an excuse. Yeah. I think she is the front runner, because if that weren't the case, then why wouldn't he go have, if he really, 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 really wanted to spend more time with Madison, he would have given her the one-on-one.
She's versus... top two right now. She's top two for Pete's heart. Yeah. Regardless of whoever our MV3s are, I think she's hands down at least top two.
Yes. But honestly, I just, here's my problem with Victoria. The fact that she's struggling with her feelings is getting me all sorts of upset. Yeah. Because Peter's there for, like, he's telling her, do you know why I asked you for a second date? And she's acting all like, no, I don't. Maybe you should be with somebody else.
She's mad ungrateful. She'd be acting mad ungrateful.
The fact that she's like, maybe you're better off with someone else and she's being wishy-washy is upsetting. Yeah. It's truly upsetting because he is into you. He is investing his time in you, and you, and open your eyes, little girl. Open your eyes. You know, you're 26 years old, and you're not a little girl, but you're acting like one by the way that you are speaking and the way that you can't handle your own feelings. I understand that you've probably been brokenhearted before. I bet you, you know, you've had your... You know, your decepción is you've had your heart broken, but come on, this is a time to be open with a guy who is amazing, amazing. He has all the qualities to be an amazing husband, and you need to realize that he is there to be with you. He could have been with any other girl. He could have picked any other girl, and he is there with you.
I agree. I have nothing else to add to that. You know, you are one. You just hit it 100% spot on. Yo, she doesn't deserve him, you know. With how she's acting right now, I do think that there are other girls that are more deserving of his love. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's super into Victoria F. You know, it is what it is. I love the girl. I don't think she's a bad girl at all. I just don't think she's ready for a love like Peter's, you know.
I just feel like she's like, well, not her, but like all men like the girls that reject them, and vice versa. The more they are unsure, the more you're like, no, but why? But why? You have to want me. You have to need me.
It's like the addiction of uncertainty.
Yep.
You know, absolutely. For some reason, se le para el pipí. Like, that shit just fucking gets guys hard. I don't know why. Like, if it's something that's super easy, where, like, everything a guy says is like, yo, easy. You know, girl drops panties like nothing. Boom. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. it. Like, where is the challenge? You know, where is the conversation? Where is the growth coming from? When none of those things are happening, then, you know, there's no excitement. It's all boredom. There's no attachment. But for some reason, you know, it takes tension and it takes struggle and argument for guys. And I can imagine even girls, too. To really be addicted to a certain kind of person, you know?
Yeah, agreed. But yes, after they started talking and stuff like that, she left. She got up and left. She got up and left. And this is the second time that she does this, because she did the same thing in the Chase Rice situation. She did this again on this second one-on-one. I'm like, you're being disrespectful. Disrespectful, and you're being passive aggressive. Okay, you're being super passive aggressive. You're crying, you're walking off, you're like talking to yourself, and it's like, where is this coming from?
Yo, second date in a row she walks away from Peter. Like, yep. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, is this gonna be a trend?
Yeah,
like, damn, like that's a red flag for me right there.
Mm-hmm.
And major.
Is she someone that constantly needs reassurance from Peter? Does she constantly need to be told that she is amazing? Does she constantly need to be told that he is there for her? Because honestly, that gets old really quick.
Yeah, I'm over it already.
Yep. And she was one of your front runners. Who freaking knew?
Yo, for real.
Who freaking knew? But anyway, she gets the rose. And then we cut to Peter deciding that enough is enough is enough. I can't go on. You know? And he makes Tammy and McKenna go on a two-on-one date to decide who gets to stay.
Wasn't really a date.
Well, it was a pre-cocktail party before the cocktail party. And when they get there, McKenna, like, starts telling off Tammy. And then McKenna finds her voice. Like, Tammy, you made me find my voice. And basically she stands up to, you know, David stands up to Goliath.
Yeah. I thought it was a beautiful moment. Yeah, McKenna grew some balls. This is the first time where I became a McKenna fan, you know? I became hashtag Team McKenna. I fucks with her. She said some things that I'm like, you know what? We just witnessed a 22-year-old go through some growth right now, you know? Like, I feel like we witnessed her coming into the show as a super naive young girl who doesn't really understand what she's getting herself into or right. what she's looking for completely, you know, just this fairy tale idea of finding love and getting married at the end of this road, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I was hearing from her, I felt it was so genuine. Like, I wrote down some of her quotes. She said, "You made me find my voice."
Mm-hmm.
Kindness wins, love wins. Bringing people down never wins. Mm-hmm. McKenna, a motherfucking man, yo. And I'm so proud of you for real. Like the fact that like she was able to stand up to her bully, somebody that has been emotionally abusing her and bullying her in the house, and for her to just stand up and just say that, kudos. And yo, keep growing. I'm proud of you, McKenna. I'm very proud of you.
I'm proud of Peter also for not letting the drama seep through. And he's like, there's no more room for this bullshit. Like, it's been drama nonstop this whole entire season, and it needs to end. Honestly, I also liked Tammy's one-liners. Like, no little blonde girl from Canada is going to stop me from being with Peter. I thought that was awesome. I also found it hilarious when McKenna's like, you're nothing. And Tammy's like, I'm everything.
Yeah, like it just got to a point where like I was over it. I'm like, all right, you're doing way too much, Tammy. Natasha hit it right on the money. She has said in a confessional, she was like, all right, Tammy is more concerned about kicking people out and just pointing out who's not right for Peter and just getting girls eliminated instead of focusing on her relationship with Peter. And it's the truth, you know, like. Like, when's the last time that we really saw Tammy and Peter have any kind of, like, legit connection? Not never. You know?
It's true. Agreed. I'm glad. But here's the thing. I am glad that Tammy did tell Peter, like, hey, this girl packed up her bags before. Like, she overreacts for everything. And she is right. Because she does. And obviously, Peter confronted her about it and was like, all right, why are you acting that way? She was like, it was a rough day. It was a rough night. And obviously, she gives her own excuses of what happened. But, you know, at least they both said their piece. And Peter made his decision. And he sent Tammy home.
Yeah.
Like, Tammy, bye-bye. And Peter, after all of that, like, goes back with McKenna to the cocktail party. And basically says that he trusted McKenna's word, and that's why he sent Tammy packing. So I don't know.
Good.
I don't know.
Good riddance, honestly. Like, I was liking Tammy a little bit, and then she just fucked it up, and she just became like, she forced herself into becoming the villain so fast. Yeah. But I feel like it was unintentional because she was very like unaware of like how hurtful she was being.
Yep.
She was being a fucking bully. Like, yo, sit your ass down. Like, chill. Like,
yep.
Like, what are these girls doing to you that is making you so angry to come at them? Yep. Fuck. Like, all right. I think Tammy joined the wrong show. She would be great on Survivor.
Maybe. All right? Maybe.
Like, I think she'll be awesome in Survivor or like on a show like that or Amazing Race. But like, yo. Nah, yo, not this, man. Like, she was being, she's being a bully, you know?
All right.
I almost said the other word, but I'm going to be respectful this time.
All right. Yeah. Well, then we go to the ceremony, the rose ceremony, and we already know that Victoria F., Hannah Ann, and Madison have a rose, and the roses were given out in this order. Kelsey, Natasha, and Kelly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, which for me, it just made me question, why didn't you just send McKenna home right with Tammy? Why didn't you do that? Like, why would you make her suffer through that freaking cocktail party? That was unnecessary.
Peter. You let her on.
You let her on. Because honestly, if I would have been in McKenna's shoes, I'm like, oh, if he left me for the cocktail party, then yay, I'm here. Bye, bitch.
I think the only justification for that is that, like, he just didn't know until he had to, like, decide and tell Chris Harrison, like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do, you know? So I guess, like, he just didn't know in that exact moment when he was talking to McKenna. That's the only thing I could justify with. I'm very upset. I was very surprised that Sydney was sent home. Very, very
Me
surprised.
Too. I thought
that shit was a shock.
Especially after their one-on-one last episode.
I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know, like, where Peter went. I think Peter found himself more physically attracted to Sydney. Mm-hmm. And more focused on her physique and her beauty rather mm-hmm. than being emotionally attracted to her, you know?
Right.
And I feel like he got scared that that he would be illusioned into something where, like, all right, I'm caught up with her looks rather than her mind and her heart.
Maybe.
So that's the only thing I could come up with that.
Listen.
Out of those three, I would have picked Sydney over Natasha, but Natasha's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
been
awesome.
And there's a connection between them.
A little bit. You know, like at this point right now in the house, Natasha officially has the least, you know, the least strongest connection compared to everybody else.
Right. Because they haven't had a one-on-one date. But I will say, some things came out about Sydney this week. And, you know, when she was talking to Peter on the one-on-one date about being bullied and this whole scenario in high school and how she used to eat lunch by herself in the bathroom, a la Mean Girls, like Katie Heron, a.k.a. Lindsay Lohan's character. There were pictures of ex compañeros de ella, I guess, like classmates.
Pictures or picture?
Pictures, various pictures. I just sent you one, but there were
pictures. You sent me one.
No, there were pictures, like, of her being in homecoming court, her being nominated for, like, a bunch of awards. And it's kind of like, it makes you question, how much were you really bullied? How much were you that unpopular that you would be nominated for homecoming court and all that jazz and be so involved in school?
All right, I think there is no... no invincibility from being bullied, regardless of whether, like, you were popular in school or regardless of, you know, if you were, like, in homecoming court or anything like that. Yeah, like, nobody's invincible when it comes to getting bullied. And I'm sure she's had her experiences and, you know, that shit is traumatizing, bro. You know, even for the simplest things. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt on that. Just because she, you know, you saw a couple pictures, honestly, Martika, that doesn't mean shit, you know? It doesn't, like, prove, oh, yeah, she was in homecoming court. She never got bullied. Do you really know that, though?
Well, listen, yeah,
right now you're assuming. Right,
no, I'm not assuming.
Yes,
I'm
you
not
are.
Assuming. Listen, I'm going to read right now what I just read, okay? By the way, I hope you know that Hannah B. and Sydney went to high school together.
Oh, shit. No way. Did they
yes,
really?
It did. Yes, it did.
Oh.
So I'm going to read this to you verbatim. That's from what someone said. I'm from Tuscaloosa. I can confirm they went to the same high school. I went to another high school in the city. I never met Hannah, but I've heard wonderful things about her. I do, however, know Sydney personally. She is a horrible person for anyone wondering. If there is one person who I would put a face to a mean girl, it would be her. We do not have the best past due to the fact that she would say horrible things about me when we first met. She also tried to ruin my relationship multiple times and succeeded. Considering she was at my ex's house while I grieved the death of my father, let's just say me and that guy aren't together anymore and she is blocked. Okay? Like, yeah, there are a lot of, if you start looking and Googling and all that stuff, yeah, and there's an entire article about Sydney Hightower's yearbook photos tell a different story than what she told Peter Weber. I'm sorry to tell you, and by the way that she behaves in the house, you can tell that she isn't the kindest person, and that she, yeah.
I think she's fine. Now, like, keywords that you said, high school. Martica, are you the same exact person today than when
you were in high school? I'm very similar. Here's what I always say when it comes to that sort of thing. I'm still essentially Martica. I'm always going to be very outspoken, very vivacious, very much out there. Pero I'm not as naive. You know, and I try not to make the same mistakes as I did in high school, but I was never someone that bullied someone. You know what I mean? I was never a mean girl.
So you don't think that somebody can be able to learn from their mistakes and grow from it, from high school to adulthood?
Certain people, yes, but some people carry out their behavior from high school all the way up until adulthood, because that's just who they were in Maduraron. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, again, I've listened to podcasts from Bachelor Nation, and Demi even said in Bachelor Happy Hour that she was scared of Sydney, that Sydney was not a nice person. So a lot of people have the same feelings about her.
Okay.
So a lot of people, yeah, hold on, let me see. Someone from Sydney's high school was watching the show, and the person didn't seem to have the same perception of Sydney's situation as Sydney herself. She was revealed to be top five beauty in some kind of pageant, and then they featured a picture in which she was with a man named Michael King, and that they were labeled sweethearts. Another photo showed her as an upperclassman, top beauty contestant. The last photo reveals she actually won a beauty competition. And
Martica, all of that doesn't mean shit, though. That doesn't prove whether she's a good person or a bad person. It just shows that she's fucking beautiful since she was a kid, and that she was able to compete in these things. That proves nothing. That literally proves nothing. You know, I mean, you know, like, at the end of the day, we will never know unless there's videos and shit like that. Anybody could write some shit. Anybody could talk shit. You of all people know, because you went through something similar recently on social media, where somebody could just talk some shit and just try to trigger that person, you know?
That was not fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, like,
yeah, but that's a completely different situation. Someone was attacking me because of a meme. Someone was attacking me because of a stupid meme that I made about Shakira and the Super Bowl, while I wasn't the only one that did it.
Yeah. And somebody said something pretty mean, and yeah. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just best to just ignore ignorance, because people will always have something negative to say about everything. When you're doing something right, when you're doing your thing, people will always talk shit. No matter how great of a job you're doing, you could be Pope John Paul, and people will still talk down on you and still talk shit about you. You could be un santo, but it's just how life goes, you know? And so, like, that's why I like giving the benefit of the doubt, unless there's concrete evidence. And there's no concrete evidence, you know? It just is what it is. Now, with Victoria F., it's like more evidence, and then more evidence, and then more legit evidence. So then that's a different story. But with Sydney, right now, there's, like, nothing. Like, I can't really, you know, I can't really say much. We're talking a lot about Sydney right now.
Either way, someone wrote to her, you were one of the biggest bullies in County High. I distinctly remember you. I haven't said something negative. I only shared the photos in the yearbook, and I have never discredited your racial stories. I know you and your friends destroyed each other's stuff back and forth. Shame on you for backtracking most of your high school experience and trying to crap all over your peers in high school. Like, I'm telling you, there's more to this story.
These are negative stories. Where are the positive stories, though? You know, like, nobody ever talks about the positive stories. You know, like,
again, but if, listen, here's the thing. If okay, so I'm gonna tell you something really quick. Something that happened while I was on the reality show that I was on with Traviesa Latina. There was a girl named Berenice. Okay, her story and her package. She said that she was someone who was a mesera, which is not a bartender, I'm sorry, a waitress, that she was waitressing and trying to make ends meet living in Chicago just to raise her daughter, okay?
Yeah.
Multiple people after the fact came out and were like, this chick is lying. Her husband or her baby daddy had money, and so did her family. Like, that was a complete and utter lie that she had never waited tables in her entire life. And she lied about it only to get pity from the public so that she can make top 12 in the mansion. Okay? And yeah. Sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And she got called out after the fact. And it's been proven that in reality shows, some people will take the route of, oh, let's feel sorry for this person because of their story. So, you know what? If it could happen with Sydney, I honestly feel like, you know what? It could have happened here.
They cut it short to avoid the extra drama. The negativity that it could bring upon a show.
Yeah, so
that's all I could think of.
Honestly, listen, I honestly think that maybe she was the bully. Maybe she was just trying to get pity from Peter. I don't know. But at the end of the day, if various people are saying you were a bully on socials, that where were you eating by yourself when you were the one picking on people, when you were the one being a bitch, then there's and they're pulling out receipts. Sorry. Yeah. Where?
All right. Well, with that being said, on from Sydney, it is time for the Bachelorette Awards, Martica. So every single episode, we drop 3 different awards. We have La Loca of the Week, the craziest person of the week of the last episode that we just watched. Award number 2, La Come Mierda of the Week, who ate the most shit. And finally, the MV3, the most valuable 3 of the episode. So, ladies first, Martica. Who's La Loca of the Week for you, huh?
Tammy.
Word.
Tammy. Tammy. And honestly, because she went on an attacking spree, attacking McKenna, attacking Kelsey. And out of the blue, because she was one of the coolest chicks in the mansion.
Yeah.
She was one of the coolest chicks in the mansion. Her behavior was completely disappointing. Damn it, Tammy, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you, okay?
Yeah, for me, my La Loca of the Week, craziest one hands down was Tammy. She went from being so loved in Bachelor Nation for, like, her little one-liners and, like, her enthusiasm. I thought she was cool, you know, like, the photo shoot, the face that she made. Like, I thought she was great.
Mm-hmm. Yo, same.
Like, these last 2 episodes, fuck.
Yep.
Like, what? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, who made you God, bro? Like,
yep.
Chill. Like, yo, you got to bring it down here. You're, like, at a 15 out of 10. You got to bring it down to, like, a 2, bro. 3.
Yep.
Just chill out. I think she's a good person. I think she handled herself very poorly. And she made some very, some poor choices as to how she responds to certain people and how she's reacting to certain people. And she's like, she's 24 years old. McKenna's 22. I think McKenna was acting a whole lot more mature than Tammy. Tammy was acting like a child. Every little thing that bothered her that had nothing to do with her, she would, like, it's not that she would put it on blast or she'll be open about it. She wasn't being open about it. She was being disrespectful about it. You know, it's a big difference. There's a certain way as to how you can say certain things. If something is bothering you, there are respectful ways as to how you could bring that up, you know. And she just wasn't doing that. She was shitting on people. Started with her shitting on Kelsey, and then she looked mad stupid when Sydney put her on blast, and then with this whole situation with McKenna. Like, she just exposed, you know, her true colors, and I hope she could figure it out. And, you know, I do believe that everybody has time for growth, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, when she looks back on this season, you know, she could learn from her mistakes and, you know, continue to grow. Feel me?
Yep. Okay.
All right. La Come Mierda of the Week, who ate the most shit? Martica.
Victoria F. And McKenna. Damn.
Okay. All right. Why both? Well, now you got to pick one. Let's pick one.
Well, no. McKenna, honestly, she would not make my MV3, not even because she grew in the last 5 minutes of the episode. McKenna was crying for every little thing. You're eating a lot of shit, girl. Stop crying. Stop. She packed her bags, for Christ's sakes. Like, how immature are you to just pack up your bags? Y formar tremendo escándalo, formar tremendo show. Like, basically, you're forming scandals. You're putting on a show all because this guy didn't give you the one-on-one. Give me a break. And then Victoria F, really, do I really have to go there? Her being passive aggressive the entire freaking time she was going on this date. Like, make up your mind, fool. You, this guy is literally taking you on the second one-on-one date. All these girls are vying for his time, and yet he's giving it to you. You are the front runner. You're eating shit. Stop playing.
Word. You know who's my come mierda of the week?
Who?
Me.
Why?
Because, y'all, like, two of, like, from the last two MV3s, I've had Victoria Paul on that. I've had Sydney on that confidently that they would make it so far. Y'all, like, I feel hurt that they're not on the show anymore, man.
So you're feeling like the idiot?
Yeah, y'all. I'm like, I felt so confident that they were going to make it so far that they legit had an incredible connection with Pete. I had an incredible connection with them from a distance. You feel me? Like, what's up, man? And, oh, like, it broke my heart, man. I'm like, the Sydney one caught me off guard. That shit caught me off. I'm like, whoa, really? You just sent Sydney home? And I had her on my MV3 last week. Or not last week, a few days ago. So, like, I had watery eyes. I legit had watery eyes. I ate mad shit, you know, for that.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And the funny part is that I've been
right. I look stupid.
And I've been right. Oh, I love this. I'm loving it. I'm sorry. I'm loving it like Mickey D's. All right, so let's move on to the MV3.
The most valuable three. Martika, who you got? Who's number three for you?
Oh, my God. This is tough for me. Yeah. Because... okay, so I feel like number three, I have to give it to Kelly.
Okay, cool.
Kelly, because of her role as Pedro's abuela, you know, and her little one-liners, and basically the way that, you know, she stole the show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In the group date.
Yeah, she did.
She's fabulous, and yeah, I like her. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that I like her. I'm just
now
like,
you're liking her. Now you see how I was feeling about Hannah, and like how I'm like kind of like coming around finally for Hannah. And that's how you're starting to feel towards Kelly. You're starting to come around. I see it and I feel it, Martika. It's okay. You can deny it right now. It's okay.
She was my MV3 for like episode 1 and 2. I feel like so. I mean, you know what I mean? She's meh, you know, in comparison to everybody else, because from the girls that are left, she's my. OK, then my second winner of the MV3 award.
Second place. Yeah.
Second place. Sorry. Estoy mal. It's 1:30 in the morning, guys. Give me a break. I'm going to give it to Madison.
OK.
Madison, because obviously their chemistry is palpable. And I like how they are together. And I just feel like Madison and Peter, even though they haven't had another one-on-one date, you can tell that they really genuinely care about each other. And yeah. they look like little children when they're together.
Aww,
and obviously, my number one position got to go to my girl, Hannah Ann. Finally, they give her the one-on-one. And she didn't disappoint. The beginning of that date was super cute. I felt like you can see the connection. The fact that he said that his heart, his heart skips a beat every time he's with her. Like, basically, like, he gets butterflies when he sees her. Like, that's huge. It's huge. It's amazing. And I feel like the way that they are, the way that they look at each other, the way that they're playful like children, but at the same time, she was able to open up and she was able to be real with Peter. That just sealed the deal for me. And I'm like, there's a reason why I'm like, this girl, I feel like, is going to be in the final two. And she didn't disappoint me.
Damn, final two.
I do think she's going to be in final two. I personally think it's going to be Madison and Hannah Ann.
Wow. I
like my that. Final two are that. Are them. And I've always said it from the beginning. From the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I like Hannah Ann. Girl, you my girl. You my girl, Hannah Ann. You my girl.
Word. All right. So my MV3. Well, I got to give an honorable mention. A fourth. I got to go with McKenna at 4. You know, like that's my honorable mention. Reason why I say McKenna, like I said earlier, I feel like we witnessed McKenna grow before our eyes. She stood up to herself for herself. And, you know, just what she was saying, you know, it had nothing to do with liners It had nothing to do with trying to, like, you know, be memorable on TV. It was authentic, you know? I feel like she hit a personal breakthrough. She has said at the end, I'm more madly in love with who I am than anything else. And that's what it should be about. I feel like she was insecure and she didn't really trust herself throughout this process. But in order for you to truly love somebody and give your all to somebody, you need to be able to love yourself first, you know, because you cannot love somebody else without loving yourself first. You feel me?
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
There you go.
So, McKenna, I appreciate you for growing, you know, and I'm excited to see what, you know, what's in store for you in the future. So that's my honorable mention. Number three, I got to go with Hannah Ann. I think number three is Hannah Ann. I think that's a perfectly great date. Solid. It was very weird in the beginning of the dinner date. That's why, like, you know, I don't have her at, like, two or one. There's still question marks about her as far as her lack of experience in the love department and not knowing what's going to happen. She's like, what's the word? Like, she's It's a fucking missile with no map. Like, she's just driving along.
And she's radical.
Radical. That's the word I'm looking for. So we don't know where she's gonna be or what she's gonna be feeling. But they do have an incredibly strong connection. It's been great. I love Hannah Ann. I am on her bandwagon. Number two, second place, gotta go with Madison. She's been on my MV3 almost all season long. The only reason she hasn't been on an MV3 maybe once before was because they didn't show her on the episode at all. Every time I see Madison and Peter together, I have the biggest smile on my face. Like, they have, I think, the strongest connection out of everybody right now. They love spending time together. Yeah, she's the only one that Peter likes doing nice gestures for. For example, this episode, he wrote that little script for her, you know, to reenact for El Amor de Pedro. Thought it was beautiful. They are so into each other. I think that's a genuine, authentic love. I think they are falling in love with each other. And my number one, yo, the standard. Hashtag the standard of women.
Normal Kelly. I figured.
Hashtag normal Kelly, without a doubt. Yo, I didn't know she was funny. Yo, she's goofy as hell too. She's everything. Kelly, get off the show. What's up? Holla at me.
Oh my god. No puedo contigo. No.
Yo, like, she like a few days ago, the previous episode, she proved, you know, her intelligence. She proved, you know, like, all right, this is my worth. Either you match my worth or surpass it, or we're not gonna be anything. Boom. Like, she put her fucking foot to the ground. Like, this is how it's going to be. This is what I want. If you're not that, then we can't be. She set the rules. She wore the pants. She made Pete step up to the challenge and, like, be like, all right, cool. I need to be there for you. You know, it's not just you proving your love for me, as it's been for almost every other relationship towards Peter. She killed it with Abuela. She was awesome as Abuela. She killed it with her one-liners and all. She took advantage of her moments. I feel like she became more vulnerable. She became more open to Peter. She did say that she was going to do her best to be more open and make an effort to be more natural with Peter. And it showed. It showed. She killed it. She did a thing. And that's my MV3. And Kelly's my number one.
All right. Okay.
And bam. Yeah. And that was the episode of The Bacheletteros. You already know you can follow us on them socials at The Bacheletteros. And myself at It's Al Pizzle, Martica.
You can follow me as Martica Lopez, M-A-R-T-I-C-A, Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z, like J-Lo on the Instagram. And then you can follow me on Twitter like Martha M. Lopez TV.
Yes, sir.
All right. So that was it. We got another episode next week. They're going to Lima, Peru.
Ha, 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 la causita. Oye, tío.
What does that mean?
Oh, you don't know? All right, so, like, you know how Cubans be like, oh, que hola, oye, you know?
Okay.
That's the Peruvian accent.
Oh.
So, all right, so I grew up with a lot of Peruvians.
Really? Okay.
In Paterson, New Jersey, There's a lot of Peruvians out there, and some of my closest friends back home, you know, Peruvians. And yeah, so every time, like, you see somebody that's, like, older than you, the way that you respect them, you call them tío. But you say, tío, tío, oi. And, yeah, they have a very distinct way of talking, just like how Cubans have a very distinct way of talking, like Colombia and so on and so forth. Have you ever had arroz chaufa?
Yes. Believe it or not, I was actually engaged to a Peruvian.
What? You were engaged?
Yes, that's on. Listen, we were ending the podcast.
Yeah, you want to go to sleep.
And no, it's not even about me trying to go to sleep. It's just the fact that, yeah, we're already going on territory of things that we don't want to talk about right now. We're not going to go there. So I've had arroz chaufa. I like the pasta, which is like the green rice. Not the green rice. The green pasta, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Not the rice. I'm sorry. You know what I'm talking about.
It's a, I know what you're talking about.
Tallarines verdes. There you go.
Papa a la vacaína.
So, anyways. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We're going to cut this off here. Remember to follow us on socials and let us know what you think about what we're talking about, what we're saying, what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. And that way we can keep improving this freaking podcast. No PSA. Son las 1:30 de la mañana.
Do you love me?
No, I don't. Not right now. Not right now.
Bye, Martica. Bye. Good night.
Good night, Al Pizzle. Bye, guys.